Welcome to today's episode for people interested in the extraordinary, yet ancient and often long forgotten stuff. This is your host, Joseph Schinwald from ownbythebeach.com. Our guest today is Mark Schwimmer. And the topic today is the letter of perception. So shortly to the bio of Mark Schwimmer. He's trained in hypnosis, NLP, and a master facilitator of the Mytho Self, Somasomantic Model. Mark leads each of his clients to their somatic signature. They experience a realization, a position where their life works exquisitely, regardless of where they are or who they are with. He's a master at teaching his clients to make great decisions, especially in times of stress or urgency, often present as life-changing needs arise. He is president of the New York Awareness Center and runs numerous programs, professional trainings, and workshops around the world. Hello, Mark. How are you? Thank you for being here.
Good, Joseph. Thank you for having me. And I really appreciate the fact that you invited me.
Yeah, I've been following your posts and your comments for some time, and in Facebook groups, and I love the way you think, and I wanted to really know more about you. So Mark Schwimmer designs programs in cognitive behavioral techniques that strengthen mindset, promoting confident, mindful skills for peak results and wellness. Here's a great website. I will mention it in the show notes, and I will mention it a few times during the interview. So now, because we are talking about this topic, I would like to first ask, what is your definition of self? Mark, what is your definition of self?
Great. I think that's a really great question to open up with. Because many people are, they're seeking self, it seems. And we have so many words and so many metaphors around self, my true self, my authentic self, my good self, my bad self. And who is this self? And what is this self all about that seems so, you know, as the great composer, I think it was Puccini who wrote the Barber of Seville, and he talked about the il donne mobile, il donne mobile, the woman is fickle, is what that means. Well, the self is fickle in the same way, whether you're...
Never heard about that, but it sounds interesting.
Right? The self can't make up its own mind, in a way, I think is a good way of kind of putting it. So the self gets attached out here in the world. It gets attached to this and to this and to this and to this, always trying to either move away from something or to move towards something. And one of my pet issues is this idea of distinctions. People seem to lump things together and not actually think logical lines of existence. And the reason I believe, and then my work seems to prove it out, the reason that they're confused in this way and tangled up or wound up and everything needs to be unwound is that there's this lack of knowing the self. And they don't quite, present company included, I was seeking outside of myself to find myself. And how does that make any sense?
You're not alone in this.
So the seeking outside. So, you know, is it in the Xbox? Is myself in the Xbox? It is in my computer. Is it in Facebook? Is it in Instagram? And we create these portraits, these selves, that these personas that we want to project out into the world. And yet, many times, and this is where, you know, one of my intellectual mentors, Joseph Campbell, speaks to this idea, is that many people, you know, they go to school, they know what it is to be a good boy or girl, they rebel about around some things, and they go to college, they go to school, they go to college, they're indoctrinated and inculcated with the rules and regulations, you know, each of us with the rules and regulations of our people, as it were. But we don't really come to any good conclusions about any of that stuff unless we go inward to find these answers. And I will later on today begin to point in the direction of where inward, because inward could be a very complicated place if you go there without a roadmap. So
people, my peeps, mm-hmm. they know Joseph Campbell, and I think that you are one of the people who read the whole all of the books. But you know, going inside, you know, it's not possible to go inside without the outside, because we are so interdependently co-originating with the whole thing, right?
Yes, I agree with that. And this inside, but as I said, going inside, you need a roadmap or a teacher to bring you inside. Otherwise, you can find things that are not useful in there just as well as you can find things that are not useful on the outside. And in some ways, and one of the things I want to say about Joseph Campbell in the line that I'm pursuing is, he said that often people climb the ladder of success only to find them the ladder perched against the wrong building. And this is the, you know, is this all there is? You know, I struggled, I did everything I was told to do, and now I'm at the top of this ladder and I still don't know who I am, and I don't feel fulfilled, or I don't feel connected to anything. I'm just a shell of something that performs certain activities, but I don't feel I'm part of it.
Isn't it like a little bit like a revolving door? When you go this is a very open-minded podcast. You know, we have a dialogue. Isn't it a revolving door when you go for something like a playboy goes into sensual experiences and suddenly it becomes boring? Mm-hmm. A successful person becomes boring because success also has some kind of a revolving door. And even like Hinduism talks about, you know, the person who is like totally committed to serving others might come to a revolving door. Ultimately, it's all about self-realization. So,
this revolving door, Krishnamurti, in the 60s, he had this consortium in Ojai, California, and he published a book called I Am This, I'm pretty sure. I Am That, one of the others. You can check it. You can verify it. And he's speaking to...
No, I know Krishnamurti is a great guy. Sometimes he talks
slow. Oh, God, yes. But
I think sometimes he's like channeling something. Yeah, as you said in one comment, right. You know.
And so he said that if you look at people that change from one religion to the next, or they change from one job to the next, or from one guru to another guru, essentially they're just choosing a new prison, in essence. They're choosing a new dogma to cloak themselves in, or a new group or tribe to try to inculcate themselves and insinuate themselves into the tribe. When in fact, that's just more of the same thing. It's more of trying to fit yourself into somebody else's mold. Where in the model that I expound and work with people on, the Smith of Self model, which I'll talk about more as we get along, it's about discovering who you are, not through the things that you think necessarily. But most people, if you think about other people that you know, you only know who they are based on the actions that they take in the world and towards you and what you can observe. You're not privy to their inner machinations, you're not privy to their perceptions, you're not privy to their history, any of that stuff. So we forget, I think, to notice what people's behaviors are and begin to be able to construct a narrative about that person based on their behaviors. And at the same time, here's the interesting dichotomy, at the same time, when we have responses to other people in the world, it's really not about them. It's about us. So in my historically, you know, my background, I'll quickly tell a little about my background. So I became interested in all of this who am I kind of stuff when I was like 15, 16, 17 years old, reading Hermann Hesse, reading, Thoreau, reading just everything I get my hands on, some of the psychology books, Robert DeRope's Master Game later on in life. And in 1973, I started meditating. But before I had started meditating, I already had quite a bit of experience with psychedelics. And this was just very kind of an interesting dichotomy of just expanding mind, learning things. And one of the first experiences that I had when I was using psychedelics was sitting, you know, in a place near my childhood home and watching a tall building literally bend and then straighten up again. And I said, let's see that again. And the building bent and straightened up again. And I realized that the building obviously wasn't doing that, that I was doing that. And I thought that if it's possible for me to have this experience on this particular substance, this chemical, it's equally important for possible for me to do this without the substance. I just don't yet know how. So I recognized I was having a hallucination, the nature of the hallucination, but the realization that the human experience is an experience of hallucinations. And the hallucinations are based on essentially who we think we are or what we think is actually going on. So I began to recognize that couldn't possibly, that's not stable. The whole idea of the reality being organized in such a way that anything's possible, you know, even the ridiculous is possible. But yet if I'm a human being, the ridiculous can't be possible except as a concept or an abstraction in my own head, in my own being. So it wasn't to be trusted.
Well, the ridiculous, in my opinion, is like Hindu philosophy, Hindu cosmology. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's probably true because all the modern physics agrees mm-hmm. with it. You know, Hindu cosmology, like, you know, innumerable galaxies, innumerable tiers vertically, you know, innumerable cycles, you know. I mean, all ultimately our scientific community goes
there. Because it's at this particular juncture, this particular place in time, this is the big unknown in a way. And I'm not sure that we'll ever get to the answer, but it's a great way of stimulating. And who knows, that might be part of it. It stimulates our curiosity. It stimulates our sense of possibility. And I've dreamed up all sorts of fantasy things, some that I think would probably make great movies or great books about, you know, what the galaxy is, what's the solar system, where are we going in this expanding universe? You know, does it know where it's going? And I have no answers to this question, but I do.
Yeah, but that is the point, you know. When you are really into Western philosophy, religions, and even particularly like me, Eastern traditions, you come to a certain conclusion, and that is nobody
knows. And see, it's in the language. Nobody knows, and no mind knows either. So is it body or is it mind that knows? So the latest neuroscience basically says it's a body mind. We can't. But so they go, well, what is a mind? And there's only one person so far that's actually described mind to me in a way that I think it leaves enough room for interpretation so that I can accept it. And it's Daniel Siegel who says that mind is a mechanism. You can't find it. It's a mechanism. It's a construct, essentially, that regulates the flow of information and energy through us. It's how we make sense of everything that's happening in a way that's...
Do you think the mind belongs to
you? I think the mind belongs...
But do you think the mind is part of the void?
I think it's part of the void, in a way. But it's a mechanism that we...
The space, like we are swimming in the void like fish in the ocean, and the water is not being conscious of
right.
the fish.
They always say a fish doesn't know it's in water until it's not.
Right. Excellent.
And this is, you know, this forest from the trees thing, it carries over the water from the fish, because we're in this world. And until we're not, we don't know that we're in any place in particular, other than what we're having our life. But there's a whole thing that's around us that we don't even know what it is. But I don't want to go down that. That's a whole other conversation. The conversation.
Yes, a letter of perception.
That's right. That's our topic. I'll start from the if if there's chaos in the world, or I can't get to the point of stability, you could say the pivot, the fulcrum at which the world operates from, that still place, I can get to the still place, and I can't get to that by doing things in the world. I can only get to that place by finding the still place in my body where anything is possible. And when I say where anything is possible, it just means anything that I can do is possible, which includes learning, using my imagination, and every emotion, every thought, every possible thing that I can generate is possible in those things. And it's a world where that contains everything I want and everything I don't want. It's all there. So how do I choose? How do I organize myself in such a way where I have stability and enough stability so that I can actually begin to sense what's happening internally? And it's very body-based in this way. It's knowing, first of all, a platform, which I call the generalized desired state. It's how are you when it feels to you, like you began to describe, you know, being on the beach. And when you're on the beach, you begin to have an experience. Now, the experience that you have is of yourself having an experience of something greater than yourself. The wind, what's beyond the blue sky, what's making the waves churn, why is it calm one day and rough another day, why does the sun shine, like how does all that happen? And I'm going to ask you this question, is how do you know who you are when you're functioning at your highest level of performance? When it's all coming together for you. And you may have a jumble of ideas at this point, but what I'd like you to do is just pick one time when you experienced yourself in sort of a state of not being able to put a foot wrong, you could say. You know, just for no particular reason, things are going your way. How is that for you? Or tell me a story about a time when that happened.
Yeah, I think it's when you feel interconnected with everything else and you are
right.
Nobody.
So what I'd like you to do...
And you are in the flow.
So I'd like you to do, in this particular case, is embody that. Make it yours by using the pronoun I. Everything you said, but just instead of you, say I.
Yeah, but when I say I... It is not I, because the I is kind of, it can be misleading, yes. Because really I doesn't, it exists, mm-hmm. Yes, it does exist, but it is also dependent, right. Interdependent on
right.
Everything
okay,
else.
So then just tell me a story about a time when you couldn't put a foot wrong. Something happened. And you went, whoa, that's cool. That's exactly what I wanted.
That's a good question. I think I cannot answer
okay. it. Why do you think that is, that you can't answer it? What happened to it?
Maybe the eye goes in my way.
Maybe.
That. You know, the concept.
It doesn't have to be anything. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything really profound. It could be, you know, I wanted to make scrambled eggs and I made the best scrambled eggs I ever had. And I knew it as soon as I took the first forkful of it, that these were great scrambled eggs.
Yeah, I can answer it. It's when you forget the I and the self-consciousness and you're just involved in the processes. And you are just lost in the joy of cooking. And you're looking forward to having a great meal while you are at the terrace looking at the great view, like the ocean in Costa Rica. Right. We have been for a long time, 10 years. But it's like, you know, when self-consciousness is probably obstructing it somehow, that consciousness that you have the eye.
Thank God for video. That's all I have to say. Because, and this is, when I do my work, this is where I focus, is in this space between what your body is doing while you tell me this story about me. So there's a distinction now that I'm making, and this is how I'm trained, is that I see that I see what you're doing, and I hear what you're saying, and the two things go together, and yet the thing that you're saying. So now we're going to get there. So as you tell me this story about being on the beach in Costa Rica, right? And you're having an experience. Describe to me the experience that you're having in Costa Rica on the beach. As you remember it, I want you to you know, you're like here, and you're gesturing. And you have these magnificently beautiful gestures as you're experiencing and revivifying that wonderful experience for yourself. And you're trying to tell me and fit this into some intellectual diatribe, and I'm not buying it. See, there you're doing it again. Now you're doing it again. There's something that you're accessing that's beyond your physical body, yet it's in your body. So you're using your eyes in a particular way. And I noticed, I want you to do me a favor here. You notice how you're sitting. There were a few times in the conversation that you in the thing that you were saying that you started to open yourself up physically. So you would start, if you watch me in the video, you started to kind of do this and you'd slump down again. You did this and you slumped down again. What I want you to do is unfold yourself and then tell me the story of the beach again. Notice what happens.
It's difficult to say.
Open yourself up. You have two muscles. I'll show you the muscles where I want you to look. You have two muscles, one on each side. One is here. One is here. If you engage those muscles, it forces you in a way. It adjusts your body in such a way that says if there's a string coming from the top of your head, and you become weightless in a way. And when you move like this,
from the physical, I am very much in like in Jnana yoga, you know. I mean, I'm not like doing yoga or whatever or meditation too much, but yeah, I mean, I feel like the world is kind of a real illusion. I'm very much in my head. I like it that way. And I like also my body, of course, and the body makes this world totally happening, you know. It does.
Well, that's your organ of perception. Your body is your organ of perception. You have no brain. You don't have a way to perceive, or you have no body. You don't perceive the world. And there's nobody that's come back yet from wherever, you know, from death, so to speak, that we can verify in a way. There's a lot of people that believe someone came back from the dead, but we don't really know. And so...
Yeah, we don't know. But on the other hand, you know, I mean, even if I'm my body and I identify with my body.
I didn't say identify your body.
My body and my mind. No, I understand. I understand. But my body and my mind, and you can put it together as spirit. And it's all words, of course, it's beyond. It's still begs the question.
Which question?
How does this all come about?
Right.
It's interdependently co-originating.
Sure. But how does knowing that help you or anyone? How does knowing everything that you said, how can you utilize that to create better performance in yourself?
My performance, what does it mean really? Right. I mean, ontologically, I'm myself. And my performance is very dependent on my roles in life. So if I think about my roles in life, which is not me, which is like chess pieces on a chessboard, sometimes I play with others, fun. Sometimes I play with others, not so fun. Sometimes I play with myself or against myself. But it's not me. Right. I'm just a player. So I have to say, you know, to answer your question, performance is very much related to my roles in life. Let's say I'm the businessman, right?
Right.
Which I am. And I have to really convey that image to my clients. So that performance is, just like a chess game in a sense, amicable, compassionate, profitability oriented. Mm-hmm. Yet it is not me, the real me. My real me is playing the game.
Your real me is playing the role of the businessman, is what you're saying, right? Right.
Correct.
And so who's the real you?
Well, my real me is beyond, is beyond semantics. It's beyond linguistic department. It's beyond language. It's actually something which is static at the same time dynamic. It's like process theology. I mean, you know, the real me I've experienced when I was born. Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
And that's not even the real me. It's like this interconnectedness with the entire universe. And to be in this world, I think, requires some kind of ignorance. Because if you are in this world and you want to play the game, the cosmic game, you need to be ignorant, because otherwise, if you're completely aware of what is reality and not in this real illusion, you cannot really play the game as authentically as you want to. And we learn from it, you know. We, as ontological being, just might learn from it. It's all relative. I'm not saying that I know anything.
And that's why I'm here. It's ontological. I appreciate you, because you say what you say, and then you always go, but I don't know anything, because I do that as well. To speak to that is that we, you know, in the way that I organize my life, it's that I'm this thing, and the only part of my life that I can control is pretty much what you're looking at and what you're listening to. Everything else, all bets are off on my having any control over it. So for me, performance, the definition of performance is that when I have an intention to perform, and I set that, and I call that intent, when I have an intent, it's a trajectory that has a tautological is a tautological experience for me. It literally pulls me into the future because of the way I organize myself. And I recognize this stuff is all made up. My model is all made up. Any model I could come up with is made up. And someone can choose to, utilize it. They don't have to accept it. Just the way there are things that, like, I accept gravity and I use gravity, but I don't think I really understand what gravity is. And I'm not sure that anybody else.
Yeah, we look at the television and we don't know how it works. I do understand. And I think we can play the game without knowing it.
But you see, so you look at the television, you don't know how it works, and yet you know how to manipulate the buttons on the remote so that it gives you the outcome that you want, which is to watch the program that you wanted to watch. So if there are models or ways of doing or being or thinking that generate consistently the attainment of the outcomes, and I'm not talking about goals. I'm talking about outcomes of outcomes, which are essentially, you know, what do you get when you get your goal? So I'm a businessman. So I sell a product, I advertise a product, I do all of these steps because they're the best practices. And then I make money and I have a viable business. And then what? Is that businessman who you are, is that a resonant form for your the totality of who you are, or is it just part of a game you're playing? In my opinion, whatever you're doing would best be something that leads you back to your true yourself, as you know yourself when you're unable to put a foot wrong. You know, it's that the world is showing up for you in the way that you intended it to show up, that intent. So many businessmen get so caught up in the numbers of the game that they're playing, they lose their objective to spend time with their family, to experience warmth, to experience love, to experience the things that seem to be fulfilling for many, many, many humans. And they find themselves after a successful career, you know, CEO position, sell the company, make a bunch of money. Their children are drug addicts. Their third wife won't talk to them anymore. They have a beautiful cabin in the woods, and they find they're up in that cabin in the woods all by themselves, and nobody that they know will answer their phone when they call.
So where's this on the letter of perception? Which stage? Okay. Which
so let's letter? Let's start at the beginning. So where I'm pointing is this ontological position, this ready state or resting state. And ready and resting is just in balance. And there's a way that we're all in balance. And then from that point, we're in a position to begin to feel and experience the world around us, to see it, to hear it, to perceive it in a way that we can make determinations where it becomes more malleable for us. An example would be you're walking in the woods, or you could be in your own house, and suddenly you feel something tickling your hand. And you immediately like swat your hand and you go, oh, it must have been a fly because you saw a little black thing. And so your body automatically made a decision about it was. It sensed something. It made meaning. It made a decision and it took action. If we were incorrect in any of those steps along the ladder of perception, in the sense making or the meaning making, the decision about what to do would be flawed, you could say. So you find that many people are going headlong into trying to achieve their goals. And when they get to like the same thing, they get their goal, they go, that's it. That's all I got. Now I have more problems than I had before. Now I have to take care of everything that's been generated by me trying to solve this kind of an issue. You're frozen, and I don't know if it's me or it's you.
Now, what is the first, the last step of the letter of perception?
The last step is action, taking massive, appropriate action in the direction of your intent. So what's something that you hope to accomplish in the next week, let's say? You know you're going to do it. You're not sure, you know, exactly when you're going to start, or maybe you're in the middle of it already. But what's a project that you're working on right now?
You see, I'm just really taking my life completely from a different angle.
I believe that.
I think the last step of my perception, the last letter of my perception is...
The last step of the letter.
Yeah, the last step is more likely like... If you look at Hinduism, right, I'm a big fan of this is On by the Beach. It's a podcast On by the Beach. It's a lot of about a lot about wisdom tradition. And I would say, you know, in Hinduism, if I thought I'm not particularly liking it when somebody puts me in a box of a religion, I'm really out of it. I'm nobody. In that sense. But I would say the last step of my perception would be to just see myself as an interdependent, interbeing. And I'm not different from the world. And I'm kind of a space-time event. And everybody is. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I'm returning to this. This is the last step of perception. For me, I'm returning to... this wholeness, what the universe is.
Right. Okay.
The universe is me. The Hindus say Tatvamasi, I'm it. And yet, you know, I'm very interested in this conversation for the purpose of how does spirituality, metaphysics, how does that relate to our performance in the world? Because I also run my business and I'm not spaced out, you know. I like to be in the world. I love the roles I play. I'm just really connecting with the two dimensions.
Yeah, well, I'm here because I perceived you to be a kind of an intelligent person who had an incredibly open world view, which I think that you do. And you had good your answers when you would post something looked at. Other, you know, more, not just your side, because that you don't have a just your side, because you believe you perceive the wholeness, that there's not a wrong or a right or a good or a bad or a truth or a lie. It's all encompassed in this experience that we're having, like a, you know, it's like a big soup and everything's there all the time. In the broth, though, in the broth of the soup, you can taste all of the ingredients if you have an educated tongue.
Yeah, it's the emptiness. You can taste. It's the emptiness.
Right.
The Buddhists speak about the void. The Hindus speak about shunyata, emptiness. And the Taoists speak about, well, the Tao, which again is beyond dualities.
Right.
And there are basically two worldviews. And one is like, you can look at it dualistically. And you can say, well, you know what? There is this oneness and there is this duality. So ultimately, you know, I would say, answering your question, I'm still very interested in what you would say about our performance. I mean, I read a few comments in your Facebook group, in the Facebook groups we were communicating, and I was puzzled by the idea that we can bring these two dimensions together.
So let's go back to Buddha when he got the boon under the Bodhi tree. And what happened just before he, you know, in that time that he was sitting there before he found enlightenment, what happened? Do you remember?
Well, I remember for sure because I did get my master's degrees in this topic. And okay. I do tell you that he was fed up with everything.
And he just sat there and he pointed down. He like, this is me. This is my spot in the universe. And I'm sitting here and you can do anything you want to
me. The it really doesn't matter to spot. Me.
That's right. Then they sent seductive women to him. And he kept pointing and he pointing to the immovable spot. And he said, you know, go fuck yourselves. I'm not interested.
Maybe well, actually, he said at the end, he said, if there would be, he was a very honest person, a very humble person, even though he was a prince and he was moving with kings. He said, you know, if there would have been another drive, like sex, I wouldn't have made it to enlightenment. And he also clearly talked about his fear in the forest about dying, you know. He was like a very human person, you know. At the end, he said,
right,
you know,
exactly. And that's the point.
God because I'm awake.
Right. And so then he said, well, you know, you can find enlightenment in a lot of different ways. And he talked about the fourth way and this way of finding enlightenment in the world.
The Four Noble Truths.
And the myth of self model.
The Four Noble Truths. And that is a fascination with me.
Is I find that when I look for the truths in the world, when I look for the truths, I look in the world for it. I do meditation only to find stability and quiet in my internally, whatever that means internally. I don't say it's for myself. I just do it because of the results and the advantages it gives me when I'm in the world doing things.
Yes.
And I appreciate all of the cosmologies. I believe the cosmologies are magnificent creations. I don't care which religion or which mythologies or where they come from or when they're from, but I appreciate all of the cosmologies, but they're cosmologies. And you know, the four functions of mythology as put forth by Joseph Campbell, first function of mythology is to reconcile the awe and mystery of the universe without being terrified by it. So stories are made about cosmology. They're creations. It's not the cosmology out there. It's the cosmology in the person's body, mind that perceived these incredible things that, you know, all of the ancient teachings came from people. They didn't come from looking under a microscope, which still comes from a person. They came from people's dreams.
I like that. Meditations. I like that, you know. But you know what? I have to say that, Mark, that we didn't really come down to the ladder of perception, which is our topic. And also, I think that the conversation of us is incredible. The dialogue is fantastic. I would like to have you on another podcast, but we are running short of time. But tell me, letter of perception, what is the letter? I mean, there are probably steps, there's a framework to it. And I personally am very interested in getting more productive because I'm like sometimes spaced out, you know. I like to meditate.
Would you like to have this, a, you know? Right. So would you like to have a means to meditate in perhaps a different way than you're already meditating? But
yes, definitely. Maybe not. No, I mean, I want, I'm
kind of. But to meditate while you're moving through the world, doing everything that you do, having a check-in point like this. Well, so that's the first step to the ladder of perception.
Okay.
Is this internal, the ladder, you can't find the ladder until you put on your suit that lets you walk up the ladder, or you take off what's preventing you from going up the ladder. And in most cases, when I work with people, that I always promise them that I'll give you nothing. And that nothing is, I mean that literally, I will give you nothing. Most people want to sell you something. I'll give you nothing. Because I'll strip away all of the conditioning. I'll strip away all of the ill-formed beliefs that are standing in your way. I'll strip away and rework all of the narratives that you've made up, all the scripts that you were given by your parents, by the school, by the society, by your boss, all of those scripts that are not yours, so that you can begin to actually create the life that you feel is worth living, your life.
Does the letter some
way in the world?
Does the letter include some steps? Like a framework?
Well, the ladder is a realization, you could say, that I am responsible for my perception. I'm responsible for this, and I have the ability to manipulate my sensations. I can certainly manipulate the meaning that I attach to the sensations that I experience in my body as I move through the world. I can decide, you know, oh, do I feel indigestion or am I anxious? Well, it seems very fashionable today for people to think that when they feel indigestion, that they have anxiety. And it's just a matter of semantics. It's just what's the word that you apply to it. The descriptions that people use to describe the experience they're having or to describe what they're trying to attain linguistically are setting them up for failure. So the ladder of perception is organized in a way. It's not so much a step by step by step by step thing. That would be more the myth of self model, which I would like in another call to be able to expand on a little bit more. But the ladder of perception is a framework in going a way to navigate the world. I'm having an experience. What is the experience I'm having? And I have to have it from a position where I'm balanced. Not like if you've ever been two things have happened or one thing's happened in two different environments. In one, you thought it was an advantage. In another, you really hated it. So because of the mood that you were in.
Yeah, I think I get you very much on the point that everything relates to your own self, even mythological stories and
right.
all this. I get that. And how would people get to know more about you? I mean, there's your website. And right. I can tell everybody the URL. It's NewYorkAwarenessCenter.com.
Yes. And that's myself and my wife. My wife actually was doing we're kind of a dichotomy in and of ourselves because I do what I do. And she, for many years, she's not doing it much anymore, but she was involved with the whole life between lives and past life using hypnosis. So a lot of what's on there is her stuff. But if you look at the stuff that's about me, that's pretty accurate. I also have, if people want to have a conversation with me, I can put up, and I'm happy to have people. I have a calendar. You have Calendly. I use Visita. I'm happy to talk to anybody that hears this, you know, for 20 minutes, 30 minutes to kind of hear their questions, answer their questions for them, and help them determine if it's a match and fit, if working with someone like me is a match and fit for them going forward.
Quite a long time on the call. I really enjoyed it because it was very open-minded.
And, I do too. Yeah. Well, what I like about it is that we have disagreements.
No,
yet we
actually,
not angry
I agree a lot with you. You're a very good thinker and meditative and deep, deep, very deep. So we have come to the end of this episode. I really enjoyed this topic, the letter of perception, and we will talk another time, Mark, about the other topic you're really good at, which is the mythos self. I'm looking forward to that one. I thank you, Mark, for having been on the show. It was a real pleasure and learning experience. And I thank my dear listeners for joining us today. The recap of the show, particularly with Mark's website, which is the New York Awareness Center. And just like I said, the same words, just with .com. NewYorkAwarenessCenter.com is Mark's website where you can reach out to him. And he offered, you know, to talk with you for 20 minutes if you like. And otherwise, you will see a lot of other things there, like mentoring, classes, workshops, and the like. So the recap of the show will, with bullet points, are in the show notes and with all the links mentioned during the interview on ombythebeach.com. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to have you here again for our next episode. This is your host, Joseph Schinwald. Thank you and goodbye until we meet again. Mm-hmm.